Good morning. Welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton here with you. And we will conclude our three-part message today, Understanding Holiness. But let me give you some information. If you're coming from the south or from the north, we're on the east side of the street. That way, no matter which way you're coming, you can find us. Right across the road from the church, a big white building, is our parking lot. Big white sign in the middle of the parking lot. Well, not in the middle of it, but somewhere in that vicinity. Gives you church times, the name of our church, and all that information. Well, let me give it to you in case you're not near our sign, all right? 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, 6 o'clock for the evening service. Our midweek is on Thursday night. That's at 7 o'clock. And we have a youth time at that time, 5 to 12 years of age. And our teen time is Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We want you to listen closely at the end of our program, if you would, please, as our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us, and we'd love to hear from you. We need to hear from you, not to pat ourselves on the back or to say that we've accomplished anything, but this is simply let us know that there is people out there listening, and they're either enjoying it or not. So those things are encouraging to us. We don't take it lightly that people listen, okay, so... take time to tune the station in and listen to our program. I know there's other programs that come on in the morning here on the station, but we're asking you to listen to ours, okay? Not trying to be hoggish or piggish, but we just believe we got the best, okay? You say you can't possibly have it. Well, probably not, but we like to think we do, all right? We... have been here since, I believe, I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again, and I want you to just understand that we've been here since 1978, and our listening audience is actually fairly big, but like most listening audiences and most radio stations, there's not a lot of response. And so what we're asking you to do is just respond to the program in some way, listen carefully at the end of the program, and the announcer will give you an address where you can write to us. And take time to do that if you would. It would be greatly appreciated, all right? Well, I think I pretty well took up whatever time I need to take up here in introducing things and getting things going. Third part of the sermon, the last part, Understanding Holiness. Today, the Steve Pettit evangelistic team will sing for us a song entitled Holy Lamb. And you think about that. That's quite a term, Holy Lamb. And listen to the song. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Right after the song, into the message.
Darkening sky, the only sound that of a mother's cry, upon a hill outside Jerusalem, eyes of the past could only look to him,
God's holy Lamb, the gift of heaven, God's holy Lamb, our sacrifice, was lifted up at Calvary, and there was mercy all around, and there we beheld Christ the Holy Lamb. King of the Jews, the sign above his head, no crown of jewels, but one of thorns instead. A veil was torn with nothing now between. Eyes of tomorrow also look to see God's holy Lamb, the gift of heaven. God's holy Lamb, our sacrifice, was lifted up at Calvary. And there was mercy all around, and there we beheld Christ the Holy Lamb.
There on a cross, as tears began to fall, the King of Kings, he was Lord of all.
He spoke of
of love, forgiveness was his cry to all who stood and watched the Savior die. God's holy Lamb, the gift of heaven, God's holy Lamb, our sacrifice, was lifted up at Calvary, and there was mercy all around, and there we beheld Christ the Holy. Holy Lamb, our sacrifice, was lifted up at Calvary, and there was mercy all around, and there we beheld Christ the Holy Lamb, Christ the Holy
Boy, I tell you what, when I was a child, I tell you what we learned. We learned what the church building was for. I probably told you a story, but for those of you who haven't heard it, for those of you who have heard it, you say, oh my. My brother and I were playing one time, and we were using the church. And the old church had those doors that swing both ways, you know, kind of like the saloon. It wasn't a saloon, but it was the doors that swing both ways. They were the big doors. And it was neat to go through them things both hands like this. You ready to see that? Boom, and them doors ding, open, and you'd go down. So there was Nile this side, Nile this side. So we went in the front door. We both parted ways. We both hit them big doors down through the aisles. And I had the side that was closest to the exit, which we exited into a room and out the back door. My brother had to come around the front, so he was behind me. Man, we busted down through there. We was running from the Indians or the Germans or somebody. I don't remember who was running from. And we hit that back door and opened it, and there was a giant standing on the other side of that door. And his name was Dad. This wasn't even on Sunday. I mean, I can understand on Sunday why you say, you know, children behave, but this was during the week. God wasn't there. We checked before we went through the doors. God wasn't there. We hit that back door and opened it, and I don't know how he knew what we were doing. I don't know if he was standing over at the parsonage and saw us hit that, walked out the back door, because he could get out the back door before we get to the building and was standing, but he was standing there. And when I opened that door, I went... And all he did was this, Brother Gordy. He just turned to the side, because immediately 20 feet away from that back door was the bus garage door. And he just went... We were walking now. And when we got in there, he didn't say, you will sit over in the bus garage corner for 5 minutes. He didn't say, now, son, I've been wanting to talk to you about this loose life that you've been throwing around here. No, he just said, bend over.
Amen.
And took this strap to my backside. You know what, brother? I never ran through that church building again. Even if I knew he was in California, I would have not ran through there, because when I'd have got to the other end, he'd have been there.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that this is not a holy place, and that we come in here and bow and, you know, genuflex and all that kind of stuff. But this is a place where we come to worship God. And when we come here and we're here, that makes it a place of holiness, because God's here.
Right.
And we ought to teach our children.
Yeah,
it's a holy place. You don't use this for your gym. I'm not talking about kids walking around in a circle following one another. Don't get me wrong. You know, don't let the kids get up and go, hey, the preacher's going to catch you. He'll fry you. I'm telling you that. I'm simply saying it's not a place where we, you know, see how fast two of you can get to the front.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Leviticus 15. And then find 1 Corinthians. Leviticus 15. You know, there's not many things that remain in my mind, but that's one of them. And I think it's because it's etched on my backside. It's kind of hard to forget. But you know what? I'm sure glad he did. I mean, I'm glad he taught me that. Leviticus 15, verse 31. Then shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle. Turn to chapter 20. I know this Old Testament. I understand what's going on, but you just follow me. Just follow. Verse 1, chapter 20. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever be of the children of Israel, a stranger that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among the people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch to defile my what? And profane my holy name. How about that? You say, what's the point? The point is this. In your uncleanness, in doing wrong, you defiled something. And God said, you will not go in my tabernacle and defile my tabernacle. You will not go in and defile my sanctuary. You understand that? Because if you do, I'll cut you off. I'll kill you. Now, you know, sometimes people say, well, the preachers are... No, I'm not as serious as God. You defile that temple in the Old Testament, he killed you. Now, I told you 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. He didn't talk about the church building here. I mean, I don't suggest it, and I think it would be wrong to do for a child to come in here and write all over the walls. But if a child comes right over the walls, God's not going to kill him for writing on the walls. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think that'd be the right thing to do, and I surely would punish a child that was mine. I'd punish him for doing it, just like I would for writing on my walls at the house. But he's not talking about that building. He's talking about this one. And he said, that temple is mine. You don't own yourself. Remember we talked about at the beginning? You don't own yourself. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. And he says, you defile that body, I'll destroy you. Now, notice he didn't say I'd kill you. He didn't say I'd do away with you. He said I'd destroy you. No, you can be destroyed in a whole lot of ways other than dying. And a lot of Christians have destroyed their testimony. They've destroyed themselves. And God's destroyed them. They don't even go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't do anything. But why? They defile their body. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You may not be serious about this, but God's serious about this. And this business of holiness is a serious thing. Well, follow me, if you will, here to... I can't skip that. 1 Peter 1, I was going to, but I can't. I got to do what he told me to do, so I'm just going to do it. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in what? In all of it? Next verse. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, that's in the Old Testament, but do you notice what he did with it? Brought it right over here and put it in the New Testament for you. Now, look over here in chapter 2 real quick. Verse 5. Ye also as lively stones have built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See that? There's a life that's to be holy. There's a temple that's holy. There's a day that's holy, but there's a life that's to be holy. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, you and I are to be perfecting unto holiness. That is, you're to be working toward being holy. You say, I can't be. Work at it. The thing is, you don't want to be holy. It won't let you be the person you want to be. It won't let you have the attitude you want to have. It won't let you do what you want to do. When you're holy, you know you can't. And so therefore, you make this excuse, I can't. Yes, you can. You just don't want to.
Amen. That's it, brother.
Or else you make God a liar. And I'm not going there. The thing about it is, in order to be holy, that means there's some things that you and I are just going to have to quit doing.
Amen.
Well, I have a right. Sure you do. Paul said, hey, all things are lawful, but what? All things not. Why? It's just not expedient. And there are things in your life and in my life that keep us from being holy, not because we can't change them, but because we won't change them. So therefore, we become unholy. And I give you Hebrews 12, just in this thought here, and I'm going to move to the last one so that if you were getting hungry, now you really can get hungry, because this is the last one, and this is one's got 85 points to it. So Hebrews 12, verse 10. I always enjoy that sometimes, especially when I have a first-time visitor and I say something like that, and they go, you know, it's already 1:30 or 2 o'clock. Hebrews 12:10. For verily they, talking about our fathers on this earth, for verily they for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, now watch, that we might be partakers of what? Yeah, hey, listen to me. Sometimes God knocks you flat on your face to do what? Make you realize you're not living a holy life and he wants holiness in your life. Sometimes God will do things to put you out of sort and you'll go, boy, I don't know what's happening. God says, you had enough yet? I want to see some holiness and you're not, so I'm going to perfect that in your life. You won't perfect it yourself, so I'm going to. Have you ever said to your children, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to help you? Yes, I have. I've said to my boys, because my girls were angels. Genesis chapter 6, the fallen ones. But I've said to those boys, straighten it up, get the attitude up, or I'm going to help you with it. You know what God says to you sometimes? Straighten it up. Get right. Do what you're supposed to do, or I'm going to help you with this. And you know what? Boy, invariably, you know what? If God put you down somewhere, you know what you're doing? Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, dear God, forgive me. I know I'm not been. You know what you do? Boy, he makes you pray, don't he? Boy, God, if you won't pray, God will help you. Amen? He's not doing it because he hates you. He's doing it because he loves you, and he wants to see in your life the things he wants to see. I give you this in closing. Romans 12, in closing. What does that mean? I can't even spell the word. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, to be an apostle, separating the gospel of God, parentheses, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the what? You got a book. It's a holy book. Friend, I said it to you earlier, but I'm going to say it again. There is no other holy thing on this earth besides this book. The only perfect, pure, airless, faultless book on the face of the earth I got right here in my hand this morning. It's called the King James Bible. There is nothing else like it. And if you're going to live a holy life, you're going to live it because you're going to follow the precepts of this book. Not because you're going to do it like your friends are doing it. Not because you're going to do it like your religion teaches. You're going to do it because that book dictates to you how to live a holy life. You can't live a holy life without this book. Amen. And you got people today, they've carried this book for 20 years and still can't find Genesis. And we laugh about that, but I tell you what, a fellow said to me out in prison the other day, he said, I need to ask you a question. I said, ask away. He said, what if somebody lied about you and put you in prison? I said, did you ever read about Joseph? He said, who? I said, Joseph. I said, you find him in Genesis chapter 37, just follow him through the book, and he opened up to Revelation. Yeah. Some of you know every fault I got. Well, that's some you don't know. If you want to know, I'll tell you. That'll help you. If that'll help you live a better life, I'll tell you what they are. Look at Job 6. I've always noticed that people who know mine don't know their own. Yeah, I guess one of their own is knowing mine. But anyways, Job 6, verse 10. Then should I yet have comfort, yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let not him spare, for I will not conceal the words of the Holy One. You say, what are you looking at, preacher? Just the last part of the verse. For I will not conceal the words of the what? So that would make them holy words, wouldn't it? If they're the words of the Holy One, he is holy. Wouldn't that make his words holy? So are these words holy or what? Huh? Are these the holy words of God or not? Then if they're the words of God and they tell us that they're holy, then if we read them, they will tell us how to live a holy life. Without them, we can't live a holy life. And the reason why we have a difficult time reading a holy life, living one, is because we won't read the words of the Holy One. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye have been by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory, which I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the... And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the... What is about them scriptures? Listen, I'll tell you. Just hang on there, man. I'll tell you about them scriptures. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, you need a holy book just to be saved. You can't be saved without this book. You can't be saved through a religious experience. You can't be saved because you got baptized. You can't be saved because you signed a card. You can't be saved because you joined a church. You must be saved because this is the engrafted Word of God, which places the holy, eternal life of God inside of you. It's so important that if God wasn't holy, you'd go to hell. If you didn't have a holy book, you couldn't find the way to heaven. You understand that? You couldn't find a way to heaven without this book. This is the book that leads you to salvation. These are the incorruptible words. This is the incorruptible seed of God. And this is what you take to be born again. And I tell you, my friend, this morning, no more than you as a Christian can live a life of holiness without reading that book, no more than you can go to heaven this morning without coming to that book and doing exactly what it said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Holiness. I mean, I didn't even skim the surface. I haven't even touched it here this morning. But I want to tell you something, my friend. There's a holy God and He expects us to be holy. And the reason why we're so miserable and the reason why our lives are like they are is because we refuse to be holy. We just won't do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to be that way. You're not going to tell me how to do it. Nobody's trying to tell you anything this morning except this. God expects us to be holy. Amen. That's what He expects. And you'll never achieve holiness on your own. You're going to have to do it the way He said. Father.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.